The biggest moments in the games.
¡No, señor! ¡Los Eagles se van con la victoria!
The biggest voices in sports.
Yankees win. The Yankees win.
The heartbreak.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line.
The celebrations.
Kansas City wins the game 25-22. And the Chiefs' kingdom has started its own history class.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
Absolutely. It's the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It is Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. We will hit a little quick reset, go back to yesterday. That's Monday evening for everybody, regardless of what time zone you do the math, or when it tipped off to when it ended. But Florida beats Houston. Number one versus number one in the national title game, 65-63. The Florida Gators become national champions in college basketball. But most importantly, Bart, head coach Todd Golden, he becomes the youngest coach ever to win a title. So here he is talking about that new fact.
I'm just a piece of this puzzle, you know. I've been able to put together an incredible staff and recruit great student-athletes over these last 3 years. And, you know, we've stayed the course all year and worked really hard. And, you know, my best answer is I'm just really proud. You know, I'm proud to be the head coach of Florida. I'm proud of the way our players performed, and I'm proud of the way our staff prepared our guys to become national champions.
Now, I am not John Cena with the golden shovel. So I will tell the audience that what you meant to say was that Todd Golden becomes the youngest coach to win a title since Jimmy V did it with NC State back in 1983 as a 37-year-old.
Well, that's not what this slug said. So I just basically Ron Burgundy'd it, and I read whatever was on my teleprompter.
You know, the slug, as we've explained in Guess What They Said, is what the soundbite is entitled in the system. And we have, what I've noticed is, had complaints. Who's working over there?
It's a combination of everybody. I actually don't know who put this one specifically in here, but this was in Hickey's folder, so Ryan Hickey will draw my ire tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right. Florida got the win. Still kind of hard to believe how that all went together. You know, I did listen to some of the stuff from Kelvin Sampson, and it's just like, it sucks. Because, again, when you're in those kind of games, you don't want yourself to get to a point where you're assuming the victory. But you do get to a point where you imagine the victory. And it's like one of those things where when you gamble. So sometimes I'll play these contests where it's like, right away I'm winning $50,000. With my lineup, my $20 UFL lineup or Masters lineup or whatever, and then I don't win any money. I didn't lose $50,000, but it feels like I did, because for a moment I imagined what it would be like to have $50,000. Maybe then I could buy some real seats at Wrigley, Carlos.
You said it, not me. And I will say this for housekeeping purposes. Valvano's not even the youngest coach to win it. That honor and distinction goes to Branch McCracken, who in 1940 led Indiana to a national title. He was 31 years old, 9 months and 21 days. So this slug is not only inaccurate by one, it's inaccurate by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 head coaches.
Wow.
There are 7 people younger than Todd Golden that have won a national championship. Everyone can kick rocks.
So this is garbage. Because I knew Golden was the youngest since Valvano. But then when I Googled it quick, it told me Valvano. But then when I click on this article, it says Branch McCracken.
Yeah, here's the list.
That's stupid.
Branch McCracken's the youngest. Harold Foster in 1941 for Wisconsin. Fred Taylor for Ohio State in 1960.
From the Jaguars?
But no, not Fred Taylor, the running back. There are people who can have the same names. Bob Knight, he was 35 in 76 when he took Indiana. Howard Hobson for Oregon in 1939. Don Haskins for UTEP in 66. and then the aforementioned Jim Valvano and Todd Golden. What an inaccurate cut by every measure of the world. I just want to punch somebody in the face. Here's Mark Cuban. Speaking of people who want to get punched in the face, Mark Cuban apparently doesn't like his new owners. He says the Mavericks' new ownership did not understand who Luka was before they traded him. This is courtesy of the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What the biggest mistake was in trying to understand Luka is he's from the Balkans, right? He's Slovenian, and you know, you look at Jokic, who's Serbian, and you look at Serbian players in general, there's just a different mindset, right? They look at the game different. They look at life differently. They look at, they're emotionally, you know, the guys that I've gotten to know from that region of the world are different. And I think that was what was not considered as fully as it should have been.
So many like what ifs or things that could have gone different where this doesn't happen. Like, what if Mark Cuban never lost big in crypto, allegedly, and they had to sell the team? Which has not been confirmed. It's just been the rumor. Although, who's not losing in anything right now? You're going to see a lot of teams getting sold next couple of days by the dip. Yeah, I think that was a part of it. I think that was a part of it. You know, it didn't seem like they were willing to give him space to be Luka. And it's not like Luka, it's not like he was a bad person. It's not like he was doing anything wrong. They just didn't jive and it wasn't on the same page. And then Nico Harrison wanted one of his Nike buddies and now they're not even going to make the playoffs. What a disaster.
You know, what an absolute dunce. I mean, because even with all the supposed flaws.
Or are they making the 10? Are they making the 10?
They're like borderline. I'm actually.
Yeah, they're making the 10.
Yeah, I got the standings right here. Yeah, they're slotted at 10. But it's still them and Phoenix. Because there's only four teams that has been.
Yeah, I meant the real playoffs, not the stupid playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. I hear what you're saying. But, you know, what a dunce. Because, again, even with the flaws, Luka was a top five, maybe a top three player in the league. They couldn't make that work. But doesn't make sense to me. All right, here's Deion Sanders. No surprise here. He's going to tell you who he thinks are the two best players in the upcoming NFL draft.
They should be going 1-2. That's the way I feel, and I'm going to stand by that. I think they're the two best players in this draft, tremendously. But we've already won. We came from an HBCU, man. We've already won. The game is over. The game has been fixed. We win. Now, once they get drafted, it's a race to the second contract in dominance.
Filling in the blanks, he was talking about Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk that Shedeur is going to drop. I don't think he goes further than 3. The Giants are taking him if he's there. That's where I'm at. But I think the Browns take him, even though everybody's trying to say that they're not. Shedeur Sanders, there may be questions. And there may be, like, even Deion questions. But there's been too many plays where I've seen from him where he's got an ability that you can't coach. And I think somebody's got to take him. If he starts to drop, that'll be really surprising to me. I don't think he's going to. Now, we can get into it a little bit later. The odds don't think he's going top 3. But I still feel like people are going to come to their senses and take a quarterback and take Shedeur Sanders.
Well, one person that would agree with you is his offensive coordinator at Colorado, and that is former NFL head coach Pat Shurmur. He had stops with Cleveland. He had a stop with the New York Giants. I am interested to hear what he has to say here because I am not a Pat Shurmur fan. Here he is talking about Shedeur Sanders.
I think he's a little bit like Travis in a lot of ways. I mean, he's done a lot through his college career. He's helped reestablish winning at two different programs. He obviously was super productive for us as a passer. He got us in the end zone a bunch of times. He helped us win 9 games this year. I'm obviously very biased because I got a chance to work with him the last 2 years and see him develop. But I think he's got such a bright future. I think any team that chooses him is going to be really happy with their choice.
So I mentioned the odds, and we will get into this probably tonight, perhaps tomorrow. There's some Adam Schefter quotes that I want to play. And I know I make fun of Adam Schefter all the time, but he does provide content, so I'm not going to, like, you know, beggars can't be choosers, I guess. Cam Ward's odds, 1 to 200. Not 200 to 1, 1 to 200. So that's like if you bet $200 on Cam Ward going number one and he does, you get like a nickel. Then at number two, Travis Hunter is the favorite right now to Cleveland, and then Abdul Carter, and then Shadur's 10 to 1. And then at number three, Abdul Carter is the favorite, then Travis Hunter, and Shadur is 4 to 1. So Vegas, which I don't even know, can we still call it Vegas? There's sportbooks all over the place, but Vegas, for lack of a better term, thinks it's going to go Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. I still feel like Shadur Sanders gets in the top three, Jackson Dart to the Steelers, and somebody trades back in. I'm going with four quarterbacks in round one. That's my hot take for the NFL draft.